The following is an initiation lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on June 19th, 2014 in Hong Kong, China.
So today we have a special Bhagavatam class, it's initiation lecture. So we're reading from the 11th canto, chapter 3, text 21 of Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Tasman Gurung Prapadyeta Jagashu Shreya Uttamam Shabde Pare Chanishnatam Brahmani Upashama Shreyam Tasman Gurum Prapadyeta Jagashu Shreya Uttamam Shabde Parecha Nishnatam Brahmani Upasham Ashrayam. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek out a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of the bona fide guru is that he has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation, and he is able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. This is a very interesting statement here. So it's a very interesting statement in this verse. Because everybody desires happiness. Who can say they don't desire happiness? But here, there's a distinction, real happiness. The Sanskrit is Shreya Uttamam. There's two kinds of happiness. There's Shreya and there's Preya. Preya is some quick, immediate pleasure. But Shreya comes after tapa, or austerity. It's like somebody can go out and get a job immediately at McDonald's hamburgers and get some quick money. You see? Or they can do the austerity of going to college, getting a degree, a master's degree or something like that. So in the long run, they're going to earn a lot more money if they do the austerity of getting that college degree. But some people just can't wait. They want to get quick money in the hand, you see. So quick money in the hand, that's prayer. And something very, very valuable that you have to work for, that's Shreya. So it's very significant here. This verse uses the word Shreya. And to make it more emphatic, the word uttamam is used. Just like in English we have the word ultimate. Uttama, ultimate, same thing. So actually the word Shreya itself would have the same meaning. But to make it even more clear and more emphatic, it's called Shreya Uttama stated. Another interesting point in this translation here, any person who seriously desires real happiness. Maybe we could say to someone, do you desire real happiness? Oh, sure, I desire real happiness. Would you like to achieve the ultimate happiness of spiritual enlightenment? Oh, sure, I'd love it, yeah. But are you really serious about it, you see? Are you willing to invest your energy for many years? It's like many people say, yes, show me God, and show me God. Yes, immediately, I want to see God. Actually, one can see God. Krishna wants to reveal himself, that's the thing. But he only reveals himself to the pure devotee. So one, is one serious then to actually do what is required? To realize God. Is one serious to do what is required to realize God? That is the question. So the fact is that most people say, I just want sense gratification. And out of 1,000 such persons, one may say, oh yes, I'd like spiritual enlightenment. And out of 1,000 persons who say, yes, I would like spiritual enlightenment, how many are really serious to do whatever it takes to achieve it? Just like that Bhagavad Gita verse. Manushanam sahasreshu kashyan yodati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashyan mang vititatvata. Out of thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly even one knows me in truth. So when this verse says seriously desires real happiness, we're talking about that one out of a million people. This is a very rare person. Just like this, the country of China, it's a huge population. But how many people in the vast country of China are serious enough to actually take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master by initiation? What is the population of China?
1.2 billion.
So that meant it's even less than 1 in 1,000,000.
Maybe 1 in 1,000,000.
So 1% of a billion would be 10 million, isn't it? No. What's 1% of a billion? 1/100th of a billion. 10 million? 100 million would be 10%. And 10 million would be 1% of a billion. Yeah, 10 million.
10 million.
So the 1 out of 100, and then down to, then you go down to 1% would be to 1 million, yeah.
100,000.
Huh?
100,000.
100,000. Okay. So, yeah, I hardly calculate without a piece of paper, but so how many people in China are really serious? You see, if it's 1 out of 1,000,000, that would be. It's even less than that, isn't it? It'd be 100,000 people, serious. So it's actually even more rare than that, 1 out of 1,000,000. Less than 1 out of 1,000,000 is serious. So how special it is in that this soul has come forward, you see, from the country of China to become seriously take this pathway. Actually, this is one of the great moments in history. This soul is now coming forward to take shelter of Guru and Krishna. So, this verse not only says that one that serious person should take shelter of his bona fide spiritual master by initiation. This verse also describes what is the qualification of the bona fide spiritual master. So just see the beauty of this verse. It's everything in one package, everything you need. It tells you you have to take a shot of a guru by initiation, and it tells you how to find the guru, how to recognize him. Therefore, you can see, if you look in the Veda base, you can see that Prabhupada quotes this verse again and again and again and again. This verse, Bhagavatam 11.3.21, is very, very important verse. So what then are the qualifications of the bona fide spiritual master? He has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation. Why doesn't it say he's accepted the conclusion of the scriptures? Why doesn't it just say that? Actually, there's a difference. Someone can accept the conclusion of the scriptures blindly. Or someone, after very careful deliberation, can actually realize the full import of the Vedic wisdom. There's a difference. So the bona fide spiritual master is not a blind follower. He has deliberated very, very seriously on the philosophical matters. And he has seen how perfect, how beautiful, how powerful is the Vedic conclusion. He's seen that it's absolutely perfect. Without any flaws. And the next statement is, not only does he have it, that realization himself, but by the power of his conviction, he can convince us also. We souls who are still bewildered by the material nature. The bona fide spiritual master can lead us out of our illusion and confusion. And bless us with similar realization of the Vedic conclusion. Because the bona fide spiritual master is absolutely convinced. There's not the slightest tinge of doubt within his heart. Therefore, he can convince us also. And then the final sentence of the verse calls these bona fide spiritual masters great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead. In other words, they're not just jnanis. They're bhaktas. They've completely surrendered to Krishna. Leaving aside all material considerations. They're not thinking of their own happiness or distress. They're simply thinking how they can deliver the suffering humanity. Relieve the people from their distress in this material world. So in this way, the bona fide spiritual master is very nicely described. So Prabhupada has many times emphasized the importance of the initiation. He gave a very nice lecture back in 1974 in Los Angeles. On the 5th of January. In that lecture, he gave some amazing points about initiation. Srila Prabhupada stated this. This is an exact quote. Deathlessness begins from the day of initiation. As soon as you take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, your point of deathlessness begins. Immediately. And if you continue the advice and instruction of the spiritual master, or the Shastra, then you become deathless. No more death. So this is a pretty amazing thing, if you think about it. The conditioned living entity who's rotating in the cycle of birth and death for millions and millions of lifetimes. At the very day of initiation, the very moment of actually receiving the beads in the hand, that living entity has now entered into the transcendental realm of deathlessness. So does that mean now I can do whatever I want? I'm initiated? smoke a few cigarettes, go to McDonald's. I'm initiated. It's like Christianity. I accepted Jesus. I'm saved. I can do whatever I want. I got my diksha.
If
there's any pop, my guru will take the reaction. I don't have to worry about it. No. This is not like so-called Christianity. If you, by getting initiated, you have entered into deathlessness. That is a fact. But you have to maintain that position by strictly following your initiation vows. If you deviate from Guru Maharaj's orders, then you fall down from the realm of deathlessness into Mritya Loka, the land of death. That's a fact. So do you want to live in eternal life loka or in birth and death loka? Just for sure. You've accepted the bona fide spiritual master. So now will you be true to your vows?
Excuse me?
Actually, will you be true to your vows? Actually, Prabhupada said a human being means he keeps his word. If one does not keep his word, he is animal. So, sometimes it happens, the disciples don't keep their word. They become a great karmic burden for the spiritual master and they put themselves in a great difficulty. So we should not be such disciples who deviate from the spiritual master's orders. Why? Because we'll never get a taste for the name if we do that. There are 10 offenses to be avoided while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And one must strictly avoid these 10 offenses. The first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy names of the Lord. This means we should always be respectful to the devotees. Always be respectful to the devotees. Even if there's a difference of opinion, we should always have that respectful attitude toward all the devotees. The second offense is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva to be equal to the name of Vishnu. Krishna is Deva Deva. He's the God of the gods. You cannot say that Krishna is another one of the gods. Third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. First and foremost, that means the initiation vows. And whatever other instructions he gives you. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature, or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. The fifth offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. The sixth offense is to give some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord.
Mm.
Just like the Sanskrit scholars, they say, well, the word Krishna means black, and black means ignorance, so Krishna means ignorance. We should not make interpretation in such a way. We have to always remember that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. That I really feel like falling down tonight, I want to go get drunk, and then, but I'll chant some extra rounds tomorrow to make up for it. Such mentality is very, very sinful. The eighth offense is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious, blissfulistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities. Don't use the holy name for your own material purpose. It's like, well, my kids are at school now and they're having their final exams. So I'm going to chant some extra rounds to help my kids do well on their exam. That's Namapara. Don't use the holy name for your material purpose. We are meant to serve the holy name, not to engage the holy name in our service. The ninth offense is to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. This doesn't mean not to preach, but it means you preach according to the level of understanding of that person. Just like here in Kowloon, there are many tailors who will make a suit perfectly fit to your body. Or you can go to the department store and get a generic suit that may not fit you so well. So the preacher, he should be like the Kowloon tailor, you see. He can tailor fit his presentation just for that particular person. He's very sensitive. He can understand the mentality of the person he's preaching to, and he preaches to him accordingly. So, we don't instruct a faithless person about the glories of the Holy Name. We instruct him first how to become faithful. And then, step number two, then once you teach him how to become faithful, then you can teach him about the glories of the Holy Name. The tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the Holy Names. And to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. So, how much faith then we will put in the name? Krishna and his name are one and the same. If one vibrates Krishna with love, Krishna is personally present. So, one has to have faith that Krishna is present. That Krishna and his name are the same. It's very, very important. Otherwise, how can you go on chanting week after week, year after year, decade after decade? You don't think you're getting Krishna's association. It will become dry, hackneyed, and mechanical. So if you actually want to experience the taste of the name, you have to realize how Krishna is present. Have faith in that principle that Krishna and His name are the same. And to maintain material attachments, after understanding so many instructions, the thing is this. What you have to do is increase your spiritual attachments. Our nature is to be attached. You can't take that away from the soul. The soul has a nature to be attached. The Mayavadi is artificially try to become detached. But it does not work. You have to become attached to Krishna. Attached to His name. Attached to the deities. Attached to your spiritual master. Attached to the devotees. Attached to Srila Prabhupada. Attached to these books. We have to develop so many attached to the Holy Dham. Attached to this temple. We have to develop so many attachments. Just like that nice bhajan by Narottam Das Thakur. He sings Ramachandra Sangha Mage Narottam Das. I am always hankering for the association of Ramachandra Chakravarti. So we see Narottam, he's very attached to Ramachandra Chakravarti. He's so attached, he's always thinking, I want that association, I want his association, I want his association. So in this way, we had to become attached to the devotees and everything related to Krishna. And then all our material attachments, they'll naturally just fade away. And then there's also the offense of being inattentive while chanting. There are different kinds of inattention. It's like they have the radar, you know, the military installation, the radar looks for enemy planes coming in. So there's radar japa, you see. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Looking around to see what's happening. That's one type of inattentive chanting. Another type is called jabber japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. How's it going, Prabhu? Krishna, Krishna, Hare. How's the kids? Ram, Ram, Hare. How's your dog doing? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And what's going on? What's for prasadam today, do you know? Ram, Ram, Hare, Hare, Hare. You see, you're trying to talk and chant your drowns at the same time. How, what's the easiest way to avoid it? Get up early and finish all your rounds before the sun comes up. Some devotees get up early and finish their rounds before Mangal Arati. Now you're really getting the nectar. So there's another one called dive bomber japa. Just like in World War II, you see. When they would drop the bombs, they would come in like this and drop the bombs and then go up again. So the Dai Bomber drop it like this, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Dai Bomber jump. So one has to be attentive while chanting. If you're sleepy, stand up. If you're still sleepy, then walk back and forth. And if you're still sleepy, then go take rest. Or take a cold shower, you see. Thing is, the mood you have when you chant your japa is the most important mood of the day. Because you're directly associating with Krishna. What attitude do you have towards Krishna? That shows up in your japa. You don't think Krishna is very important? Your rounds will show it. And if you think Krishna is the most important thing in your life, it will show up in the quality of your realm. So in this way, we have to chant very, very nicely, Hare Krishna Maharaja. So, now we'll move on to the next thing. Yeah, are there any questions?
Can you understand Cantonese actually?
She understands English.
Ah, okay. Uh-huh.
Question? No question? Okay.
Sorry. You mentioned you speak according to the level of the person you're talking.
What
is it?
Gurudev, you mentioned that we preach according to the understanding level of that person.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes when we give class,
That's right. In a class, there's different levels of understanding. So there's a difference between giving a lecture and doing one-on-one preaching. But at the same time, there's a general, you have to gauge the audience as a general principle and address that particular audience as best you can. It's an interesting question. So should you, in an audience there'll be some advanced devotees, you see, and there'll be some neophytes, some newcomers, so which level should you preach? In the case of a lecture, the best thing is you preach to everyone and say, make some high level points and some introductory points, use a mix. You give the advanced devotees something they can get inspired by, some high level philosophy. And you also give the newcomers something that they can understand what you're talking about. So even in a lecture you should actually cover everyone at some point in the lecture. Any other questions?
Yes.
You mentioned that it's offense to have material desires when you chant japa. And I'm just inquisitive about Dhruva Maharaj. He was chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. But he had a material desire. But also he became very exalted. a very exalted devotee.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit confused.
So how did it happen if he was doing Nama Parad? The question would be. Because obviously his chanting was Nama Parad. So how did he become a pure devotee if he was chanting with material desire? Aha, I found my loophole, you see. I can chant for my material desires and I can become a pure devotee. Krishna, I'd like a beautiful wife, and I'd like some money, and I'd like a nice apartment, a Mercedes, and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And give me pure bhakti also, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. But one thing you should note, Prabhu, is this. How powerful Dhruva Maharaj was. How did he attract Krishna Garbha to come? Krishna Garbha came because he became so powerful in yoga, he was choking up the airs of the entire universe. The demigods were suffocating. So, therefore, if you can become powerful enough in mystic yoga, that you can, by dint of your tapa, you can make the demigods suffocate, then you might be able to get the Lord's darshan even if you're chanting with Nama Parad. But if you're not so powerful, be able to suffocate the demigods by your tapa. Then you better go for Shudanam instead of Nama Parad. The Lord came because he was disturbing the universe. But when the Lord came, he realized what a fool he was and he became a pure devotee by seeing the Lord. So, somehow or other, one has to get the Lord's association. He didn't get it by his chanting. He got it by being a disturbance to the universe. So, since we're not so powerful to be able to disturb the universe like that, we have to attract the Lord by Shudanam, by pure chanting.
May I add something?
Dhruva Maharaj didn't get his pure devotion, but he got it after the Lord came. But for his material desires, he had to stay in the material world for many, many, many millions of years before he could go back, and he was lamenting all the time.
Very good point. Any other questions? Are you satisfied, Prabhu? Any other questions? Okay. We'll stop here and move on to the next item of our program. Initiation ceremony. So, how many rounds of japa do you chant every day?
At least
16, that's very good. At least 16 rounds, very good. And what are the four regulated principles?
No unicorn sex. No intoxication. No eating. No gambling.
Very good. So your name is Nalini Devi Dasi.
Nalini Devi.
Ladini Devi Dasi. Ladini Devi Dasi.